All right, we are the last, they're up to the last three psukim. We are in the middle of the last three psukim of Sefer Omos. Okay, the last three psukim, let's read them again, and we're up to the Radak. We did Rashi and the Mitzudos, we're up to the Radak, let's read the psukim again. Hine, on page 376. Three very famous psukim. Hine, Yavim Boim Nu'um Hashem. Good days are coming. I hear the word good. Yomim boim nu'um Hashem v'nigash choreish v'koitzer v'dorech anavim v'moyshech hazara. There's going to be an abundance of blessing. The blessing will be so great that you will be busy harvesting your produce all the way until the season of the planting begins. Two examples, an example regarding grain and an example regarding grapes. Mr. Kaladi, it is so good to see you. Welcome back. Baruch Reifei Cholim. Okay, you should be gesund. Everything should be good. And it's Baruch Hashem, it's good to see you here. Okay, so we have over here two different examples. We have the example of the harvest of grain, that you'll be busy harvesting the grain all the way until the next planting season. You'll be busy harvesting and producing yayin, pressing upon the grapes until the next planting season, until the next time, the next cycle begins, when you go and you begin to tend the vineyard. Fine. Then it says, this beautiful example we learned in the Rashi Radak, V'tifo ha'arim osis v'chol ha'gvois tis megagna. The mountains will drip with juice, and the hills will melt. Eretz zavas chalav advash. Then we have pasuk yudalid v'shavti yeshuvusami. Yisrael, vanu adim neshamois v'yashavu v'natu churamim v'shasu es yinam. They will be resettled. V'yasu ganois gardens v'yachlu es pirihem unitatim al admasam. They will be planted upon their land. V'lo yinosishu oid me'al admasam. They will not be uprooted from their land. Asher nasati lachem omar Hashem lokech. Okay, we did the mitzudos, we did Rashi. Now let's go to the Radak. Radak pasuk Yud Gimel. So I'm back on page 377. Yud Gimel halfway down in the Radak. Hine, yamim, boim, choresh, bakoitzer, kol kach tiyeh hatavua rabah. There will be an abundance of grain. Ad sheyis asku b'ketziras hatavua ad eis hacharisha. You will be busy harvesting the grain all the way until the season of plowing. The yifgeshu zebozeh. They will meet. Hachoresh bakoitzer. The choresh season will meet up with the harvest season. Al derech shama batoira v'hisig lechem daish es botzir v'tzir esig ezora avol zehu yoyser. Ah, so look at this. This is very interesting. I didn't pay attention to this before. Rashi quoted the same exact pasuk, and when Rashi quoted this, so Rashi, we then looked at the sifsei zekeinim avol zehu yoyser v'kal lehovin. Now, I didn't really. I thought the Sif says that the Kainan meant to say is that what it says in the Chumash is a greater blessing than what it says here in this pasuk. Let me give you the pasuk in Michal Kosai. Okay, Michal Kosai. Right, yeah. Ezora. Exactly. What we quote the pasuk that we just quoted, both Rashi and the Radak quote that pasuk. So let's go to Parashas Michal Kosai. See, some people, they get mixed up. They lay this week Michal Kosai instead of Parashas Pekudei. You lay in Chazak. So what's the difference? Both have in common that it's Chazak with this Chazek. Okay, but in Parashas Michal Kosai, we have the Brachas. Okay, the Brachas begin with Im Michal Kosai Teilechu V'nosati Gishmichem B'itam Pasuk Hei V'hisig Lochem Daish Es Botzir Uvotzir Uvotzir Yasig Ezora. Rashi Pasuk Hei V'hisig Lochem Daish Es Botzir Shehi Dehadayish Miruba V'atem Oiskim Bo Ad HaBotzir. Now what is the Daish? Daish means to thresh. Correct? Daish means to thresh. Means you step upon the grapes. You step on the grapes.
The grain, no?
The grain, the grapes are the grain. Well, they do, you do everything. All different types of things that you daish upon. The daish is miruba v'yatem asukim boy ad ha-botzir. Now, what's the botzir? The botzir is, what is the botzir? The botzir is, maybe I'm not translating these words correctly.
In English, he said the prosperity will be so great that you will still be busy threshing your grain time comes to harvest your grapes. And you will still be occupied with your vintage when the time comes to sow next year's grain.
Okay, so he's going between the threshing. We read the translation one more time, slowly, one more time.
In English,
you do exactly what you just said.
The prosperity will be so great that you will still be busy threshing.
Your grain. Daish, therefore, let's go slow. Daish is the threshing of grain.
When the time comes to harvest your grapes.
Harvest the grapes. So the harvest season of the grapes is a later point in time. We're mixing between two different types of products. Okay?
And you will still be occupied with your vintage.
Harvesting of the grapes.
When the time comes to sow, that means the
grain. Okay, so what does the pasuk then say? Let's read again. Daish.
You put it in a time frame. In August you will start threshing, but already in September, already you need to do the
harvest of the grain.
But you didn't have the grapes, and now comes October. You have already.
October, okay. So you put it three different stages. Now, what here do you notice is absent? I mean, not absent, it's just a different term, but everything is significant, is threshing. Harisha. In the Chumash, there is no mention of the Zman Harisha. The Zman Harisha comes before you plant. Before you plant, you have to plow. Correct? Now, it doesn't mention that, so I guess we are assuming that it goes together. When it says here you're going to plant seeds, it means the same exact thing as plowing. Let's keep that in mind. And what is the pasuk here in Sefer? What is the pasuk here doing? It's coming to overlap different types of products. We have different products. We're starting off with what? With you are threshing your grain. Now, isn't that you're in the middle? We enter into the middle of the season. You've already harvested. You've harvested the grain. The grain is in the silo, and what do you then do? You take it. And you lie it out in an open area, and you bring in the troops, the animals, and the animals step upon it. And by stepping upon it, it's called threshing. You separate the kernel from the chaff. So that's a later state in its production, because before you can thresh, you have to first let it dry. You don't thresh it immediately. You harvest it. You pile it into big, big piles in the middle of the field. You let it bake in the sun. In the hot sun, you then bring it into a silo, you let it sit there in the sun a little bit more, something like that, and then you flatten it out, and then you step on it in order to separate the kernel from the chaff, and you only can do that when it's perfectly dry. If there's moisture, there's too much moisture, then the separation is not going to occur well. It's not going to be good when you try to crush it and separate the two different parts. Okay, so up to the threshing. And then you're going to be so busy threshing, there's going to be so much to thresh, all of a sudden you're going to wake up and then you have to now go into the vineyard and harvest the grapes. Oh, that's an entirely different product. Okay? Now, obviously, the harvest season for the grapes, according to even if you're not a farmer, you know, from nothing like me, is obviously much later than the harvest season for grain. Because if you're already up to threshing the grain, threshing the grain takes place at a significantly later period of time than the harvesting of the grain. You harvest the grain, you let it, you wait around for until it dries out. The harvest is the harvest time.
Rus and Shavuos.
Shavuos is Yayin?
No, they were threshing it then.
They were threshing it then?
To the threshing. No?
Okay, you're right. That's right. You say so Shavuos is the threshing. So they did the harvest.
So he says it will be so abundant, you will go into the
vineyard.
Okay, so this is what it says in the Torah. Now, here, we have something very, very different. It's similar, but it's different. This is Yimos HaMashiach. What is this pasuk referring to? What Tkufa? It doesn't say what Tkufa. It's giving you a general bracha. Here we're almost winding down. So the order is right away reversed. Do you see that right away? In the Torah, the order is first. Daish is basically the equivalent, for our purposes, to the koitzer. Right? The koitzer, you harvest, and after you harvest, you thresh. So the daish for our, on a very simplistic level, is really the same thing as the koitzer, the harvest season. And then Daish, and then what does it say? The Choyresh. Now, the next difference is that in our Pasuk, we're not discussing, we're not coming to mix between different types of products. We're sticking to the same product. One product. Don't confuse me with other products. I'm in one business. I'm in the wheat business. And in the wheat business, there's a time to plow. And I'm going to be busy plowing, v'nigash choyresh bakoitzer, and we're translating it backwards. We're translating it to mean that the two are going to join together. I'm going to be busy, we'll read the second word first, harvesting the grain, and the harvest will take so much time, so much effort and toil, that I'll be busy with it all the way until the next plowing season. But we're sticking to one single product. Then we go into the next phase of the pasuk. V'doireich anovim b'moshe chazora. Now we're assuming here when it says the word Moshe chazora, that's how most all the mafarshim have learned. It's not something which is so simple. The seed are grape seeds. Grape seeds. You're planting in a vineyard. You're planting new vines. And the same exact idea. You're going to be busy harvesting last year's grapes. You'll be busy producing wine all the way until it's time now to begin the new season to replant for the next year. What has this pasuk done? It's broken up the two products into two separate blessings. Those that are in the industry of grain will be busy the whole year, and those who are in the industry of producing wine will be busy the entire year, non-stop. No time to breathe. Busy, busy, busy with all of your material blessing. The Torah doesn't say that. The Torah talks about, intermingles two different types of products. And it assumes that the farmer, whoever is in the business, is in a double business. You have two full-time jobs. You're a vintner. Is that the right word?
Overlap
two different businesses, normally, two different products.
So when you're not doing the grain, normally you'd be doing the wine.
Yeah, so
right. So which one is a bigger blessing?
Yeah.
The Torah is discussing a person who is busy with...
Even ask that way.
I don't know that, but that's what the part of you right. I wouldn't ask that. They're different. Which one would you say is the bigger blessing? I don't know. You're not giving me enough information.
Yeah, but this
right?
Is...
Right?
I don't think it's competitive.
Specialization. Kadim doesn't handle matzah, and straights doesn't handle...
That's not true.
Kedem. Well, now they will.
Kedem is the... they branched out. They used to order chopped liver from me. So
it was not my chopped liver.
They're not discussing Klayim. We're discussing, you have different parts of the world. We're not discussing their Klayim. You don't mix them together.
Not all.
It would appear, strangely enough, that they would be side by side.
Okay, but there's a gap. You have to have a... There's halachic rules. You say something interesting. Why is the Torah mingling two things which you're not allowed to mingle together? That's right. It's an interesting idea. We're mingling two things which are normally forbidden that in the Bichul Kosai. So for some reason, both the Sif Zeh Zekeinim and the Radak are the same idea to contrast what it says here in Amos with what it says in the Chumash. And they both seem, well, not only the Sif Zeh Zekeinim, to make a point, which one of these two is a greater blessing? Let's read the Radak one more time, and then we'll go back to the Rashi. The Radak, and Pasuk Yud Gimel. Hinei yamin boim choresh bakoitzer, kol kach tiyeh hatavua. Pasuk Yud Gimel, in the Radak on page 377. Kol kach tiyeh hatavua, rabba atche yisasku b'kitziras hatavua ad eis hacharisha. You'll be busy with the harvest until the time of plowing. V'yif geshu zeh bo zeh, hachoresh bakoitzer. It's one product. Al derech sh'omar b'toira v'siglochem daish esbot tzirvot tzir yasige zora aval zehu yoiser. What does that mean? Which one is yoiser? What it says here in our pasuk or what it says in Chumash? Yeah. What does the Radak mean? Aval zehu. And why does he have to even say that? What difference does it make which one is greater? I mean, there are too many variables. I mean, there's not enough information here in front of us that we can understand what he means to say. And what does he mean here? What?
I mean, to me, it's clear that it's talking about
talking about the future, and the future will be so much greater than the past. So this one would be the greater bracha.
Okay, maybe. But over here, we're limiting it into two different. We're separating the products. And there's a total separation between wheat and there's the people involved in the wheat business and the people involved in the wine business. And we're keeping them totally apart. And they both can be very, very busy. In the Torah, person is diversified. Okay, all of his eggs are not in the same basket. And he's busy the whole year going from one business to the next business. Each business has its season. Okay, every business has its busy season of the year. People involved in sukkah business are not busy in Pesach. People involved in making matzah, they're not busy sukkahs. But a person that has a sukkah business and has a matzah factory, he's busy both times of the year. And if you're in the candle business, you're only busy during Hanukkah time. Okay, so everyone has their business. Over here, he's saying you're diversified, you're going to be busy the entire year. I don't know what it means. Let's see the next words.
Yes. Really answer the question, but the verse is talking about in the Chumash. The verse stresses that constant activity is part of the blessing. When people are busy, they feel fulfilled and their health is better. As the verse says, you will eat your bread to
satiety.
And they have neither the time nor the inclination to go abroad. As the verse says, you will dwell securely in your land. But when people are idle, they seek amusement and stimulation. They travel and lose the discipline of home, routine, and community. This increases the danger of sin and has ill effects even on physical well-being, which is something else we've been talking about.
If too much time on your hands, you're looking for trouble. It's very interesting. I know someone. You're saying here. I know someone that was miserable. Person is miserable, and they wanted to do something a little bit extreme. But they had to get permission. They had to get permission to take off from work and to do whatever, to do certain things, to pull some strings in order to be able to do this because to solve their misery. So the person who they had to get permission says, no, I'm not giving you permission because if you can, I didn't make exceptions for other people, so I can't make an exception for you. And you shall buy the, and then there was a woman, she said, and by the way, well, you think you're gonna do this? It's gonna solve your problems. I've been there. I also have problems. I've tried. You're wasting your time. It's not gonna make your life any better to go into a world of fantasy for a day or two. It's not gonna solve your problems. It's like a double. I'm not giving you permission, and you should know it's a bad idea. It's not gonna solve your problems. Okay, a person has too much time on their hands. It leads to do averos. If you're very, very busy, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. But I think he's saying something different. But see, I think when the Nitziv, what you quote, is saying something a little bit different. What he's saying over there is that when you go on vacation, even if you are very, very busy, if you spend too much time going on vacation, it can cause you damage. Because it's better to be in a healthy routine. When you're in a healthy routine, you're growing. You're developing. If you break that momentum, and too often, obviously you have to go on a vacation every once in a while to refresh yourself. But if a person goes on a vacation too many times during the year, or during a cycle, you are breaking the momentum of growth. And that's a very dangerous thing. We all know there's a very beautiful vow that you say by the 25th wedding anniversary. Silver wedding anniversary. I assume some of you have passed that. Okay, some of you are probably close to the gold wedding anniversary. Okay, what's a diamond? What's diamond?
75.
75?
75.
Okay, so what's the vow? What are you supposed to say? What are you supposed to say? The only vow you're supposed to say by a 25th wedding anniversary. You say that... The less eight, okay, there's only one Vard that you're supposed to say. The Vard is, it's a famous Vard. Rabbi Akiva, he had a wife, a very beloved wife, Rochel, and one day he told his wife, it's in the Gemara, bye, see you later, I'm going to Koilo. I'm not coming back for 12 years. Okay, 12 years, he picks himself up and he goes in isolation, Rabbi Akiva, for 12 years. He promised her that after 12 years, I'll come back. It was 12 years to the day And he arrives at the door, is about to knock on the door, and he hears from behind the door, there's someone in the house, another man in the house, that is criticizing his wife and saying, what kind of a husband do you have? It's Oisfar. Rabbi Akiva, what kind of husband do you have? What kind of husband do you have? He abandons you for 12 years? What kind of nonsense is this? So she says to her, he's listening, wow, to criticizing me. So she says to this fellow, what do you mean? My husband, this is the Gemara. My husband went to learn Torah, Lishma. It is my greatest honor and privilege that he should go and sit and learn, and I will take care of the family for these 12 years. And she says, and if it was up to me, if it was my decision, I would gladly let him go and go back for another 12 years. That's all he needed to hear. He did not even bother to knock on the door and say hello. He made an about face. Gemara. He made an about face and went back into isolation to learn Torah for another 12 years. Okay.
Wow.
So the question was, why didn't he at least say hello? Yeah. That's not for now. But the question is, why did the wife of Rabbi Akiva only tell him that, oh, if it was up to me, he can go back for another 12 years? Why not 20 years? Why not 30 years? Why not 50 years? So the answer is, because she said to herself, he must come back for the 25th wedding anniversary. That I'm not meichel on. 12 and 12 is 24, but you better be back for 25. The silver wedding anniversary, you have to be here. That is no excuse. Okay, what? Yeah, they had children. What were their names? I don't know. He was married. Akiva was married three times. Rabbi Akiva was married three times. Three wives. Rachel died. He was married to three different tkufas, three different wives. That's what it says in Chazal. Who's the second wife? I don't remember. He was married three times. Three times. Okay. Rachel was the what?
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
That was his daughter. He had children. He had a daughter. From which wife? I assume the first wife. I don't know. I assume the first wife. He got married when he was 40 years old. Right?
The third wife was 100, over 100 when he married.
The third wife? He died when he was 120 years old. She Gioris. He's married three times. The first, he got married when he was 40 years old. And he died when he was 120 years old. Okay, now going back over here, so this is B'moshech HaZora. So let's go to the next part of the Radak. The Radak says, V'derech Hanav B'moshech HaZora, K'mosh Amar B'Torah, Uvotzir Yasig Ezora. You'll be busy with harvesting wine. The word Votzir is a word that is unique to what? To Botzir is Yayin, the harvest of wine. Each commodity, each product of the earth has its own unique term that is used in reference to its harvest. Okay, so the word Botzir is a word that's used exclusively in reference to grapes. Now, here is the next word. This is where the Radak, I think, is coming to differ with Rashi. And he says, Botzir Yasig Ezora. It says here, Perish, Votzir Yasig Ez Zora, Uperish Moshe Hazora, Noise Hazera El Hasadel Zoroi, to plant it. Now, which Zera are we referring to? It seems, let's read further, Umash Omar Moshech. What is the word Moshe? Moshe means to pull. Hemshech. It means to pull. Kubeloshen Shamar no say Meshech Hazora. Shamalis. Okay, Boho. Holoch Yelech Uvoho no say Meshech Hazora. Bo Yavarina no say Alu Moisaf. So what does this mean? Meshech Shubeloshen Shamar no say Meshech Hazora. Fu inin yikar. It means it's an inin yikar. Now, what's yikar mean? It means expensive. It means the Meshech means precious. It's something that's very precious. Kimoi Meshech Chochma, the benefit of wisdom. Okay, so this is the Azera Yakar Lezoroi. Zera is expensive, lezoiroi, to plant it. The targum, with Yonasim Tirgim, be mapik zara, to take forth grain. Now, he's saying two different translations for the word meshach. Why is it expensive? Because what you are planting in the ground is a risk. If you would take the zera and you would transform it into bread, you have definite benefit. Taking what you have, the zera, and planting it in the ground, you may have just flushed down the toilet your life savings. Because there is no guarantee that the seed you plant in the ground will grow next season. No guarantee. There are many, many factors. Maybe there'll be a drought. Maybe there'll be harsh winds that will ruin the crop. Maybe there'll be locusts, arbe, that will destroy the crop. This was one of the stories in the Nevi'im. I don't remember, we had not so long ago. One of the kings, there was a tekufa. I don't remember when it was, when there was starvation. And one of the Navis told the people, you have over here some grain. I want you to have faith and plant the grain. Take whatever you have out of your closet.
Not to eat it.
Plant it. They said to him, but if we plant it, then there's a real possibility that we will starve to death. Because this is the very last that we have. And it's a suffix, it's a very great doubt if it will really grow, because there's a drought. There's been a drought. And there's a very, very small chance that by planting the seeds in the ground, anything will come from it. And then we'll certainly die. And if we will not plant it, at least we'll have something to eat for another couple of days. We'll have some bread for a small period of time. What will be afterwards, who knows? But at least let's keep what we have. So it was an act of faith to listen to the Navi, who told them, I want you to have faith in me. I am speaking in the name of Hashem. I want you to take this seed. I want you to plant it, even though that may result logically in your imminent death. I want you to have faith in Hashem that this seed will indeed grow and you'll have what to eat. So, now that was an extreme case. But in general, a person has seed. What should you do? I can sell it in the market. I can take the seed and produce grain and produce flour and make bread and sell it and have a couple of dollars. Or I can invest. If I invest, you don't know what's going to be. You don't know what's going to happen. It's a risk. That's why it's called the Meshech Hazara. Meshech, according to the Radak, means something that's heavy, that's weighted, that's valuable. What's the mean, Yokar? It means, what does it mean? It means it's a big decision. It carries upon you a very heavy burden psychologically if this indeed is the correct thing to do. Because you may have just lost your life savings. So Noisei Meshech Hazar. That's what that Medrash, I was told, that Navi was written on that Pasuk. Noisei Meshech Hazar. It makes perfectly logical sense what Radak says in that Pasuk. The people that were carrying the Meshech Hazara, the heavy seeds. Why are the seeds heavy? It's not literally that they're heavy. It's figuratively that they're heavy. That it weighs down upon you. Is this the correct decision to make, to take these seeds and plant it in the ground? Maybe I'm giving up my life savings. That's the way the Radak translates the words Meshech Hazar. It's always a big decision what to do. Then he quotes the Targum, which is probably the much, much, much more common translation. It means to bring forth, to be mapik. Mapik means to bring forth. Take the seed out of the silo and bring it on the wagon into the field and throw it in the ground. To bring forth seed into the field to plant. We're not discussing any weighty decision. We're not discussing over here you have to go and think your head and lose sleep over this. It means simple. Pick it up, get to work. Pick yourself up and take the seed, go out into the field and put it in the ground, and you're done. That's why it's called the Meshech, the Meshech HaZara. Two very beautiful translations for this word. Next, V'tifu Hodimo. Now, that's what he's saying. Now, we'll go back to Rashi one moment, but let's first go further in terms of the Pasuk. V'tifu Hodimo Asis, the mountains will drip with juice. Waka Alderch Mashal, this is nothing more than a metaphor. Meroiv Hayayin V'aperos, due to the fact that there's going to be an abundance of Yayin V'aperos. Al derech, like we discussed yesterday, Eretz Zavas Cholav Udvash. Next, the Asis. Now, when it says here the word Asis, in this Pasuk, Hushem Klol Chol Dvar Mashke Shiotse Min Hanam. The word Asis means juice. It's a general translation of juice. Any juice that comes out of of lechol mashka yotze min haya anavim mishar peiros sheyotze hamashka mehem v'nikur asist lefi sheyotze hamashka mehem al yidei sechita uche sisha by squeezing and pressing min va'asoysem rishoim Hashem will crush, Hashem will squeeze the wicked people. Okay, so so the mountains will be squeezed. The mountains will drip with juice. Juice is called osis because the way you extract juice is through the action of squeezing. Tismay gagna, the hills will melt. Al derech mashal kilu hagivaos ni moigois umis moisisois. It's as if the mountains are melting. Two words which mean the same thing. Meroiv hechalav shezov alehem, and atzoyim, due to the abundance of milk that flows from the sheep. V'yafal pisheloi zochar cholov, even though it does not say explicitly here in this pasuk the word milk. Kein roitzaloimar, that's what it means. You have to make certain assumptions. You got to take risks in life. Kein roitzaloimar ela shesomech al hamevin b'chesroin hamila. We assume you understand what it means. Okay, the Radak wrote a very popular sefer called Michlol. It's a sefer on grammar. And there he explains this principle that many times psukim leave out very important basic words. And the reason why it has done so is because it's self-understood. The mountains will drip with juice. And he's bringing a proof that what he's saying is correct. Because if you want to look at the corresponding pasuk to this idea that's found in Sefer Yoel, there Yoel explicitly mentions milk in the same context. Therefore, we have a right to assume that in this pasuk, where the word milk is left out, it means milk. All of these blessings here refers to the times of Mashiach when the Jewish people will merit blessing without working for it. V'sham Omar Yitfu Min HaKal. There it says it will drip Min HaKal. Now he's going into some rules of grammar. The word Yitfu is from the Binyan Kal. Okay, in grammar there are seven Binyanim. Seven forms a word can take on. And here it says Yitfu. Vihine Omar Vihitifu Min HaKoved. Here it says the word Hitifu, which is from the Binyan Koved. Vinyan Echad, it's the same thing. Elisha HaKoved Mara Roiv HaPula. The word Koved has just a greater emphasis. There's more effort being expressed. So here it says Vihitifu. Vihitifu has a connotation of a greater degree of intensity. Okay, next, it says, next words of the Radak, V'shafti, M'varhu itself, on the Sudam Hashem, V'shasu es yeinam, V'yachlu es pirihem, V'retzolema, Shalo ye yigiyam, Lorik, Shayavdu ad mosam, V'yachlu oiveyem. Their effort will not be for nothing. When you're going to work hard, and your enemies will reap the benefits. Hashchenim lohem, K'mo yishasu, B'yosem al ad mosam, K'idim churbanam, K'asher lo hoyu oisem, Ritzoyin okel yisparach. When there was a curse, we did the work, and the one to reap the benefits were our enemies. Now, when there is a blessing, we will not have to do the work, and we will reap the benefits. It will be reversed. The same idea is expressed in Yeshaya. Mash Amar v'yachlu piryam v'hinei Amar v'shasu esyenam v'kavonis ha'inim achas. Same idea. Ki anavim heim l'achilu v'lushia v'hayayin ha'yotzim heim. The grapes are for eating, and the liquid that comes out is going to be for wine. Very straightforward. Pasuk Hezvav, Unitatim Ke'etz Hanatua Shlo Yozus Memekoyimo. It's not going to be uprooted. V'inyin Shlo Yiglu Oy Me'artzam Bezesh Sheyeh Tamil Oyvdim Lakel Yisparach Vayisem Yisrutsoinai. Amar Hashem Lokechu Humaymo Lakel Yisparach Kineged Hanavi. So says Hashem. Hashem is speaking Kineged Hanavi. Hashem is saying. He seems to be saying something very interesting. Remember yesterday we had a discussion. What is the significance of Amar Hashem Elokecha? So I told you yesterday, a whole long elaboration, that this is the customization of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to customize himself to every single individual. And that's why suddenly at the very end of Sefer Amos, does he shift gears? Does the pasuk use a different expression? It could be the Radak doesn't say, is saying something very different. He's saying no. Amar Hashem Elokecha, Humaymor HaKel Yisrach Kenegra Navi. Hashem over here is signing off. Hashem is signing off to Amos. Amos, I've given you a message to deliver. Here it is. Omar Hashem Elokecha is not part of the prophecy that Amos will give over to Klal Yisrael. It is a personal sign-off call from Hashem to Amos. We enter the entire Sefer. And the entire Sefer Hashem is giving over a message. Take this message and deliver it to its intended recipient. And when Hashem says, okay, you got it? I'm done? Are we clear? Omar Hashem Elokecha. Who is your God? Who is he speaking to? To Amos. Everything that I've told you, I told you, I'm your God. I've given over this message. Now proceed, take it, and give it over to Klal Yisrael. When he gives over to Klal Yisrael, it's very interesting. He also includes the sign-off call. You know what it's like? It's like a bar mitzvah boy gets up to lay in the Haftorah for his bar mitzvah, and he doesn't know, and the only way he knows the Haftorah, no one ever taught him anything, he just listened to a tape 1,000 times. No, he had no Rebbe, no one said boo, they gave him a tape, memorized the tape. So he gets up to lay in the Haftorah, and everyone has watched, they're all expecting that he's about to read the brachos, Baruch, and he begins, quiet. The Haftorah for Parshas Bichukosai. Baruch Atah Hashem. You hear the joke? That he's just imitating the tape. And the one who on the tape, he begins the tape by telling you, this is Haftorah. That was not meant to be said. That was just an announcement that the person who made the tape said. But the boy who doesn't know the difference, he just gets up and he says, the Haftorah for Parshas Pekude. And then at the end of the tape, he says, for more information and other products, please visit our website, www.judaicatapes.com. Right?
I know it.
I did the same thing this morning. I said, I got second early. I said to myself, I said out loud, the Marto have third line down.
Oh?
I said, the Marto have third line down.
This
morning.
Okay.
So this is
an instruction. Omar Hashem Elokecha, according to the parish of the Radak, appears to be not a message, not part of the message that was meant to be delivered to Klal Yisrael. It was just a sign of call from Hashem. So you would expect, so keep it to yourself. What do you have? Why does it have to here to be mentioned? We know there was a lot more nevuah. There were 1.2 million nevi'im in the history of Klal Yisrael, and only 48 of them made it to the big screen. Right? Only 48 of them made it to the nevi'im. So we don't mention all of the words of prophecy, the infinite words of prophecy that were said to Klal Yisrael. It wasn't relative to us, so it was not necessary to be written. So if this is just a sign-off call from Hashem to Amos, why is it recorded here in the last words of the Pasuk? Isn't that what it says in the Radak? The Radak is Omar Hashem Elokecha Hu Maimar Hakel Yisbarach Kineged Hanavi. Isn't that not what it says? Am I making a mistake? Am I not interpreting this correctly? It's a sign-off call from Hashem to the Navi. That's all it means. And obviously the Radak is bothered by the question that we discussed yesterday. This is not the style of Amos. Amos never says Elokecha. Amos always says Hashem Elokim, Hashem Tzivakos, Hashem. We talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu in third person. We don't personalize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't make HaKadosh Baruch Hu we don't personalize him. That's not his style. Generally, that's not the style of the Nevi'im. So why does it all of a sudden, the last three words is something very different? So we gave yesterday a whole elaboration. Indeed, we're discussing it. Yemos HaMashiach. And Yemos HaMashiach, it's going to change. Our relationship is going to change from the general, abstract, fearful expression, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Tzivakos, where we will have a personal relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Chazal said that Las Lava Kodesh Baruch Hu will be Metayel with the tzaddikim in Gan Eden. Rashi quotes this in Chumash. Hashem, you'll walk with it. Hashem will walk. He'll walk around. Hashem will be walking around with it. He'll be mitzamtzim himself. Whatever that means, Hashem will be mitzamtzim himself, where he'll be walking around and with tzaddikim in Gan Eden. And maybe you won't be afraid of Hashem. You'll still be afraid of Hashem even when he walks around with you. But there'll be a personalization. There'll be a unique relationship. That's what it means to Amar Hashem Elokecha. But to make it clear, that's not what the Radak says. The Radak says we're not discussing Hashem customizing himself, making it personal. Hashem is just, this is just a symbol, sign, off call. And that begs the question, so why then are these three words mentioned? I don't know. I didn't say that. I don't know. I don't know nothing. I'm a Mishnah Aleph base. I don't know. Not even that. But you saw how complicated the Aleph base can be. I don't even know the Aleph base, but it's something very unique. It's not in the style. It's clearly not in the style of what we learned so far in Amos. Okay, now let's go back now to let's see the Malbum. We're going to try to the Malbum. We have to stop a little early because it's a little late today. We'll lose a few more minutes. Let's go back and let's take a look over here at the Malbum. The Malbum on page Pasuk Gimel back on page 377. Ne Yom Boim. Okay, well, not too much Malbum. Ne Yom in Boim. Days are coming. Be'er Oid. She'oz, page 377, she'oz yisrabu ha'tavu v'ha'peros ad she'akotzio yis'orech zman rav ad she'agi eis ha'charisha. Okay, there will be an abundance, there will be a great, great blessing, we've said it many times. Next page, we turn now to page 378, udrichas, and the pressing of anavim yis'orech ad bo zman ha'zera. Me'roiv ha'tavu v'anavim, due to the abundance of the grain and the yayin, the grapes, k'mo she'kosov, yisidchem da'ish ha'spotzir. That's the third mefarish to quote the pasuk in Parashas Pichukosai. V'harim yatifu osis midvash haperos. The mountains will drip from what? Dvash. Okay, he doesn't mince. He's the only one here that said the word dvash. Everyone, the Radak was the one who was the only one that said the word zavas cholav udvash. But the Radak did not go so far. The Radak did not go so far to say that. That the word the dripping is the dripping of honey. He didn't go so far to do that. But at least he did mention the principle of Zavas Cholav Udvash. He over here is going further to actually say that when it says it's going to drip, the dripping over here is going to be the dripping of Dvash. V'hagiva ois, shasham yiru habokar v'atsoy tismay gegna. Is that a printing mistake? Tismay gagna? Meiroyev hecholav k'moyish shakasim b'sef v'sef yoyel v'agvoyis telach necholav. So therefore, it's mamish explicit according to the Malbum. Eretz zavas cholav udvash, like we discussed yesterday at great length. Okay, next v'shavti yeshavus. I'm going to restore the captivity of my people. Hu hashavas ma'alosam madregosam. This is very, very beautiful. He's translating this figuratively, not literally. I'm going to restore your dignity, your honor. This is an idea that we discussed, and it's very, very common. The honor of Klal Yisrael. Uvechein tein kovoi li'amecha. What are we mispallel for on the Yomim Noiroyim? That it's not just enough, Hashem, that we should be supreme and powerful and successful, wealthy, and have good health. Kovoid. Are the Jewish people respected today? Is the state of Israel respected today? Depends who you ask.
Yeah, yes and no.
It depends who you ask. Probably more no than yes. Okay, there's probably more anti-Semitism, more hatred, more jealousy, more of everything. Depends who you're talking to. Right, depends who you're talking to. But there's enough hatred and enough jealousy and enough of animosity in this world that you have to keep your head down pretty low. You got to watch out. Maybe there are people who will give them kavod. Maybe we'll have a tkufa when we have kavod in this world. But more or less, keep a low profile. Because Jewish people are not liked. That's the way it is. That's a matter of fact. We're not liked very much, and therefore it's not such a great idea to keep your head up too high. One of the things that we yearn for, the coming of Mashiach, is uvechein tein kavod li'amecha. Honor. Dignity, respect. The rohu kol ame haaretz Kishem Hashem Nigra Olecha V'yadu Mimecha. That's Purim. Purim is a dogma of Geula. As we learned yesterday, the whole Purim is all about the covenant of Klal Yisrael, more so than anything else. Okay? Klal Yisrael was highly respected. V'rabim me'ame ha'aretz misyahadim. Imitation is the greatest form of flattery. Is it the way around? Flattery. What?
The sincerest form of
how does it go, the expression? How does it start?
Imitation
is the sincerest form of flattery. That's exactly what happened. They want to imitate. They want to be like us. They want to be like us. They're flattering us. It's sincere flattery. It's the truth. That's Purim. Purim is a dogma of Yemos HaMashiach. It's a dogma to recognize the seed.
Wouldn't that also like the Erev Rav that is called a Klal Yisrael?
That's there's so many Mamar Chazal, and such a big discussion was who the only one who wanted to take the era was Moshe Rabbeinu. It was only Moshe Rabbeinu who wanted, and what the question was it correct or not? There's a whole type of discussion.
But this was, I don't think it was good. I don't think in a way it was positive. It was a flattery, but it was not good for us.
That we should take in Goyim?
Yeah.
It's not so simple to say that. That's not a davar pashut. Melech HaMashiach comes from Gerim. Rabbi Akiva comes from Gerim. Rabbi Meir comes from Haman. Some of the greatest people in Klal Yisrael who make Klal Yisrael are Gerim. They're from the outside.
But they became Gerim because they were afraid. Because they were afraid.
In
the Megillah.
Misyadim. It depends. Look, Akate Avde Achashverosh Anan. It does not say anywhere in Chazal that they did not accept Gerim in the time of Purim. It doesn't say that. They did not accept Gerim in the times of Shlomo HaMelech. And Chazal said that we will not accept Gerim in the times of Mashiach. That's clear. Shlomo HaMelech, there was no Gerim. The Bate Dinim for Gerim were put out of business because no one can prove their sincerity. It's impossible. Impossible. And Yemos HaMashiach, no one can prove their sincerity. But in the times of the miracle of Purim, it appears, at face value, you could. Because the Jews were still in Golos. Akate Avde Achashverosh Anan. When the Megillah is over, there is still no Beis HaMikdash. And the Sitna, not to build the Beis HaMikdash, is still in full force. So, obviously we got problems. But yet, there were some intelligent people out there in the world that saw the light, saw an appreciation of Klal Yisrael. V'rabim me'ame aretz misyahadim. Doesn't that mean they were accepted? It says misyahadim.
Yeah.
The Jews were in control. If they didn't want them, they didn't have to take them. So there is this element. This is the theme of Uvechein, we are mispal for on Rosh Hashanah, and it's very, very significant why we are mispal for this on Rosh Hashanah. Chazal tell us, because what is Rosh Hashanah all about? The Malchus of Hashem. The Malchus of Hashem is Malchios, Zichroinois, Shoifrois. What do we do on Rosh Hashanah? Malchus. What is Malchus about? Malchus is about Kovod. You cannot separate Kovod from Malchus. The essence of Malchus is respect, a recognition of authority. If there is no recognition of authority, if there is no Kovod, then by definition there is no Malchus. We take Rosh Hashanah, which in essence is a day of Malchus, which includes Kovod, and we use that as a source of inspiration to be mispalel in all of the tefillos of the Yomim Noraim. Uvechein tein Kovod liyamecha. Give honor, liyamecha. Hashem, we recognize you are the Melech. Klal Yisrael, your chosen people, also needs respect, needs kavod in this world to survive. And in Golus, in 2,000 years of Golus, the one thing that we certainly are lacking is kavod. We may have had tekufos when we were successful, independent, have sovereignty, have autonomy. And we have wealth and success, but kavod. Can you show me a time in Jewish history when there was in Klal Yisrael, in Golus, in the last 2,000 years, where Klal Yisrael had kavod, had honor? We would tolerate it. maybe a little bit, maybe respected, maybe here and there by some, but to say that we had honor, never. Can't say we ever had real, sincere honor in the last 2,000 years. Tolerance, respect, we can be on the same team, but kavod in its full sense, never. That is something that will only come when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus is restored, and that is the way the Malbum is learning pshat in the Pasuk. No one said this until now, not the Radak, not the Rashi, the Mesudas. Everyone learns these words, these last words of the Pasuk, the Shafti Yeshvus Ami, okay, these last words, Hu Hashavas, I will return the captivity of my people. And when it goes on to say to rebuild, we're not discussing just physical relocation. The Soviet, the collapse of the Soviet Union, the Iron Curtain, everyone can come to Israel, everyone's going to come back, all the Jews can come back, kibbutz Golias. There's still no respect. Today, even though we've rebuilt an Eretz Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, there's still no respect for Eretz Yisrael. This comes with the Hashavas Ma'alosom Umad Regosom, their mila, their uniqueness, their respect. I mean, it goes hand in hand, the fact that they are above and beyond. Uvanu harim shayush neshamas v'yitu kudom. Doesn't say anything over here. Unetatim al admasa mi'oz yuke eitz hanatua b'mekoy mashiyev shalo akroi me'admasa v'chim lo yinasishu oid me'al admasam ki lo yelchu oid begolos li'olam. He learns the significance of the word of netia, of roots. If you have a building and it's built on a foundation, big deal. The foundation cracks, the building goes. But a tree has roots. A tree is much, much more secure than a building. Because the building doesn't have roots. A building is just lying on a platform. That's it. And if the earth quakes, that's it. The earth quakes, so the platform gets off base, the whole building collapses. A tree doesn't collapse in an earthquake. The earth quakes. No, the earth shakes. So let the earth shake all at once. When the earth shakes, the tree shakes. And when the earth stops shaking, the tree stops shaking. Because a tree has roots. And when there are roots, you're not going nowhere. You ain't going nowhere. You're here. You're stuck. That's the barucha. The times of Mashiach, we're not going to just be a building, a structure. We're going to be an eitz notua. That's how the Malam. We learned yesterday a little different. We learned another interpretation is that the tree has a connotation of a living organism. There's life in a tree. There is growth. There is blossoming. It reproduces itself, exactly. Paris. A building, that's it. It's just the day that...
That's what Rafunda said, that he's a planter, he's not a builder.
Okay, very nice. I have a project. I have a project. I'm really excited. I want to go through all of Pachan Yitzchak. And I want to copy all of those lines. The poetry, his poetry is second to none. I don't want to just extract. Forget about the Torah. Extract all of those lines. V'namshich es akav hola. That's probably the most popular one, right? Mm-hmm. He coined that line. V'namshich es akav hola. I saw recently another very beautiful line about children. I don't remember that, but right. So that's a planter, not a builder. When you plant, there's life, there's blossoming, there's peros. A building is a beautiful building. But a building, it's stagnant. So that's not what the Malbum says. The Malbum has a different approach. The Malbum's focus over here is that it's secure. It ain't going nowhere. It's here to stay. A building is not necessarily secure. We have to stop here. We'll finish up Yirtz Hashem on Monday. We'll finish Yirtz Hashem Omois and begin Ovadia. Okay, we'll do it on Monday. We'll do it on Monday. We'll do it on Monday. No, we'll do it on Monday.